than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Let's jump right into it, because like, if I got to talk about this game, I'm going to make Josh talk about it even more, because I don't want to talk about this game. I don't want to talk about the next game. Let's just get this week done, okay? Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, Josh, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, considering. So you just want to blow past this game and talk about the Packers matchup. You don't even want to talk about the Browns game.
I don't want to talk about Packers or the Browns. This is not going to be a good 2 weeks.
Brandon, come on, man. Like, we have four games left. You just want to just pack it in already? Are you that distraught?
When's the draft?
April. Man. Yeah, you sound like my buddy. Pitchers and catchers report. I'm like, wait, Ravens are still first place AFC North, guys. Calm down. But you're right. The way this game was going. Now I'm going to start by saying this, because we know the end result. We know front to back how this game went. Before we start about the beginning and talk about how everything just unraveled, I'm going to say I am proud of the Ravens. You may say, Josh, why? Bro, no one thought they should have been anywhere close to that game. The Browns are shut out in the second half. They didn't score 20. They scored, what was it, 24-6 at halftime, right?
Right,
was it?
Right.
Browns ended up with 24 points. Ravens 22. So you have to give the Ravens credit. They didn't die. They could have just said, woe is me. Another two injuries, Calais Campbell and Lamar Jackson. I mean, really? You know, not to jinx it, but someone actually said that, like, who's next, Lamar? Shut up. Like, don't put that juju out there, and obviously it happened. Luckily, and we'll monitor it as we go on, for somehow, some reason, Lamar's day-to-day, and he apparently might play Sunday. I don't even know how it's possible, and apparently, not to really blow past the Browns or preview the Packers, but we know Aaron Rodgers dealing with his own toe issue, so both quarterbacks are ailed right now, more so Lamar than Aaron, but Aaron goes out there and throws for 300 yards and four touchdowns like it's nothing. And Lamar was sidelined the whole game, so who knows? I mean, but besides the point, I'm going to just fast forward to the end for the Browns game. The team just refuses to die no matter what. So, I feel proud of that team. I'm proud of Huntley almost getting it done again. Ravens should have had that game. That game was theirs. Everything from the place. Bro, 99 times you don't get an onside kick, and the one time you get it, you got to cash in, because I wasn't seeing all hope, and I'm like, I looked at my dad while I was watching the game. I'm like, there's no way to get it. No one gets an onside kick. It just never happens. And the one time it happens, they don't do nothing with it. It was just so frustrating. Like, everything's set up for them to win that game and steal it, and they were oh so close. But it just was a frustrating day, starting with, obviously, Lamar's and Calais Campbell's injuries, and it just unraveled from there, and then getting blown out in the first half. Bro, it was just looking like a grim Sunday, man.
It absolutely was. And I want to say, I think Jerry Sandusky said it was 375 games since the Ravens have gotten an onside kick. So it's
been
about
insane.
20 years since the Ravens have gotten an onside kick. And for it to end the way it did, where nothing happened after, that is such a bummer. Because like you said, this team doesn't die. This team does not let things phase them. Their next man up mentality, when you have the face of the franchise go down, next man up, and they came within 2 points.
Right.
Like, I'm being all doom and gloom at the beginning of this, sure, but like, there's something to be said about that. The fact that this team is and should not be winning. And sure, they didn't win Sunday, but they shouldn't have the record they have right now due to all their injuries. And they came within 2 points of beating this team.
Know what's even funnier about that? The Browns didn't even cover the spread of 2.5. So right? Vegas knows something. Like, how did they know the Ravens were only going to lose by 2 points, or the Browns going to win by 2, not 2.5 or 3? Like, see, they know. But that just shows you, like, that was even more ironic. This thing for all the bettors out there to cut that said the Browns to cover the spread, it didn't happen. So sucks for you. So I would hate if our listeners lost money on that. I do apologize, but it just sucks. But it's the nature of gambling. It's what happens. But that's what I found ironic. Like of all the things that could happen, even though the Browns won the game, it's like they didn't cover. So hey, but what a wild game. I mean, you know, Lamar goes down on a freak injury, and immediately I'm thinking, like, when I saw the cart in the replay of the thing, immediately, you know what I thought? Achilles heel. I'm like, dude, he's done for the year. Like, there you go. There's the season. I thought it was Achilles. It being an ankle sprain to be day to day is like the best thing that could ever happen to us right now. Wild.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like, the fact that he got carted out, when they bring the cart out, that's never a good sign.
That's season done right there. Like, you know, like, yep, he can't walk. He's done. That's what I thought. I'm like, Achilles heel. He can't walk. Got to bring the cart out. Can't even get back to the locker room. We're done. We're doomed. It's done.
Yeah.
Not that we can't Faith and Huntley, but come on. Like, we're not going to be a playoff team with a backup quarterback. And then Calais Campbell goes down.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, again, like, how – I think the Ravens have had a team like this before where we've had like half the squad on IR, pretty much like 20, 30 people. But like, you know, whether they're out for the season or not, doesn't matter. Have you ever seen the Ravens sneak bit with these kind of injuries in the key positions they had? Like, it's like, who did they piss off on? Whose Cheerios did they really pee in? Because like, what happened? Like, why the Ravens? Like, every other team isn't getting, I mean, there are injuries in the NFL. Don't get me wrong. Like, we understand, like, Christian McCaffrey's out for the year. Alvin Kamara's missed time. Like, some stars have missed time, but I'm like, but the Ravens, it's like every key position. Like, Humphrey's out. The whole running back room's out. Marcus Peters is out. Lamar's now hurt. Calais Campbell. It's like you think of, and Derek Wolfe all night. I'm like, you name all these names, and it's like, again, not to discount it if it's third stringers versus first stringers. I mean, everybody's important to the Ravens squad. We need these guys, but come on. They're in key positions that these guys, I'm like, but and then you sit here and thinking again, I know they still got help, you know, the Bengals lost in overtime, you know, the Steelers lost yet another game, you know, thank you for the Vikings embarrassing them on Thursday Night Football. And even that was a crazy game because they came back down 29-0. Yep. But the Ravens, whether you like it or not, have 8 wins, 5 losses. They're 2 in a row. It's crazy. They were 8-3 at one point. They are still first place entering with 4 weeks left in the season. Like, get that through people's heads. Like, yeah, it might be doom and gloom, but I'm like, the Ravens right now are a division leader. So, and according to Jamison Hensley, who put that out there, they have the best chance to win the North at 52%. And the Steelers have a 5% chance winning North. And then the Browns are like 20-something and the Bengals are like 15. So, like, the Ravens have 2 division games and then 2 quality opponents in the NFC, which we'll get to obviously. And the Ravens have 3 home games, 1 road game. The road game is Christmas weekend against the Bengals, but we got to get through the Packers first this weekend. But like, through it all, the resiliency, they're still a first place team and they can still control the NFC. The Ravens don't need help. But if they start falling here in the last few games, whether they go 2-2 or 3-1, they got to go at least that. But you know, you don't want to get the position where, you know, you're at 9 or 10 wins, you need help. So these injuries, we have to monitor. They have quality opponents. They're no slouch. But I don't know if you saw this, Brandon, but did you see the rest of the AFC North as far as schedule was concerned?
I have not paid attention to that.
So here's the look at the final 4 games in the division. The Ravens sit top of the AFC North with a 1-game lead, 8-5. They have the Packers, Bengals, Rams, Steelers, 2 division games. The Browns also have the Packers in Green Bay, and they also play 2 division games against Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, and they have the Raiders this Sunday. The Bengals play Denver, us, Kansas City, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh also plays Kansas City. They play Tennessee, Kansas City, Cleveland, Baltimore. So each of our division has 2 division games left, and the Steelers actually have Tennessee and Kansas City, who are both right now playoff teams. And then obviously we have right now, we play 3. If I look at the standings, I didn't look at the wild card. I think the Bengals are right now in the playoffs in a wild card spot. But the Ravens play 3 games out of the last 4 there right now that teams are in the playoffs right now if it ended. So the road, dude, this can come down to the last game of the year where the Browns play the Bengals and the Ravens play the Steelers in week 18. This thing is not far from settled. You can look at the Browns game is unique because you know why? you can look at it half full or half empty. Oh, injuries and 8-5 lost 2 in a row. With the components we have, I don't know where you can look at it as, hey, they were losing 24-6, no Lamar Jackson, no Calais Campbell, and they came back within 2 points. Everything set up for them. They just didn't get it done. And to me, the sack doom and gloom them on that last drive. Like, you can talk about the refs and the no call, or not the no call, but the phantom defensive pass interference on Westry, where it should have been Landry, and it was actually, you know, putting out there that it was actually should have been OPI, or at the very least no call at all, and it led to 3 points, and we lose by 2. I know that's under the microscope. You know, we still got in the end zone, even though they took away a Bateman's first career touchdown, which he bought out on Sunday. There was a lot of bright spots because, look, you know, fantasy versus reality. I'm sitting there, I have some Ravens, and I'm like, when Lamar goes down, I'm like, well, I'm not going to get any points out of Andrews or Brown. Mark Andrews had ended up with 31 fantasy points with Tyler Huntley under center. Like, he had one of his best games of the year. Like, what? Like, 11 catches, 100 yards, and like, ridiculous. Like,
it was his first nomination for Angry Runs as well.
Yes, and it was crazy, and he should have won it. I mean, it went to Mike Evans, I think. But yeah, that was even crazier. He had, the juggernaut run. So the Ravens got off the snide because, like, 1 or 2 weeks ago, Good Morning Football is Kyle Brandt. When he runs the segment, he didn't really call the Ravens out as a negative way, but he was like, hey, there's the list of the teams that don't have a nominee, not a winner, but like a nominee. And then here the Ravens finally get one with Mark Andrews. So finally happy to see that and the highlight. And, you know, that was coming and that was fun to see. And sucks he didn't win it. That would have been great. You know, again, you got to hand it to resilience. I mean, Bateman showed up big time and shown what he can do with Tyler Huntley under center. You got to give it to Tyler. He made some plays. His number was called. Lamar went down. You know, it's doom and gloom. It's 24-6. And again, Tyler's got to get the fumbles under control. You can't turn the ball over in any fashion and expect to win a game. And I know, right? Lamar threw for 4 interceptions against the Browns the last time, and we won 16-10. But this is not last time. Tyler Huntley fumbles it twice, cost us points. It was a fumble 6 the other way. And then the last time we were in the red zone and he coughed it up on the sack when he was trying to run and got tackled from behind and coughed the football up. That cost us at least 3 points. And then, of course, we lose by 2. So you take points out of our hands on both of them. You give 6 points the other way. And even the Browns helped us. They missed a field goal early in the game. Everything pointed to the Ravens winning that game. And, you know, dude, they recovered the onside kick. You know, 2 timeouts with, like, an eternity. All you had to do was go 20 to 30 yards, maybe, if that. And like my dad was alluding to, he goes, the play calling, and on social media, when I followed the pulse of this game, bro, whether it was Lamar or Tyler Huntley under center, Greg Roman's name was, like, thrown out there extensively, saying, like, fans were calling for his head. Like, what's his play calling? It's vanilla. Why are you trying to run a draw play in first down? We need to get down the field, blah, blah, blah. And again, and then the call play calling was suspect on the final drive there when they were coming to a set kick, but a sack didn't help him because you know what happened? It was 3rd and long. Remember, Mark Andrews caught the pass to get him the 4th and 6. And then, you know, it didn't work out, but I'm thinking, like, you don't take the sack, that Mark Andrews play goes for first down even more. But my dad alluded to this. If you call smart, small plays, let's say if you take 4 downs to get 5 or 6 yards at a clip, right? Or even, you know, whatever, first down. Let's say you take 2 plays and get the first down at 5 or 6 yards a clip. There's a first down. You call a timeout, or if you get out of bounds or whatever. If you take 4 or 5 plays and go 5 yards a clip, you're well in field goal range. I mean, the Ravens recovered it. What, they're on, like, their own 40. They literally had to go 20 yards. They had to get 2 first downs, kick a field goal, and game's over. Tucker already nailed 2 50-yarders in that game. Like, it was going to get done. So it just was so frustrating that you're like, I literally, when they recovered it, I'm like, dude, my eyes got big as baseballs. And I'm just like, no way. And then, of course, I'm waiting for a flag. Like, it didn't go 10 yards or it was illegal time. Like, I'm already waiting for the phantom call to erase it. Like, Browns are going to just take it, kneel it, and take it from us anyway. And then Ravens had the ball. And I'm like, there's no way they're going to pull this off. Like, I didn't want to be negative, but I literally was just like, there's no way. Like, we were losing 24-6. Like, there's no way. We ain't going to. And I'm like sitting there like, no. And then I'm like, could you imagine if we did that? And then, of course, it fell a little bit short. So, again, like, it just sucks. And then a lot of people are like, there's a lot to going on there because then they're like, well, Tyler Huntley looked like he played better than Lamar did. And I'm like, and everybody's like, what's wrong with Lamar? I don't know. Like, looked like Tyler Huntley was running better, and he was out there making throws, and Lamar wasn't. I'm like, I can't put a finger on it, man. I wish I could have an answer for you. I don't know. I don't know if something's wrong with Lamar. I don't know if he's rattled, if it's schemes. But Lamar, Tyler Huntley looked a little bit more polished than Lamar has recently. So, and that's a fact. I mean, I don't know if you're observing that, but something's up.
Lamar hasn't looked right at all this year. I mean, he came into training camp. He couldn't play the first 10 days due to COVID. So I don't know if we're seeing like long-term effects of getting COVID twice. Maybe that has something to do with it. But he did that flip into the end zone against Kansas City, and he had to miss a couple practices because his back hurt. Then he got ill, and he had to miss the game that Tyler Huntley played the entire thing for him. What was that, Thanksgiving week, I think, about a month ago? So it's – Lamar has not been himself this year. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's a health thing, if it's a mind thing. I don't know. He has a lot on his shoulders. He's got a whole franchise sitting on his shoulders right now because I felt it. You felt it when he went down. Everybody online said the same thing. Well, there goes the season. It's over. The fact that he is day to day, I have no idea how, but he's day to day. So I'm not gonna question it. But it's Lamar just hasn't, and this is a big year for him. This is a contract year for him. So for him not to play his best ball and for him to miss games and whatever, I mean, it doesn't bode well for his long-term future with the Ravens. But yeah, this year just something's up and I'm not really sure what.
Yeah. And you're not the only one to bring that up. It's been conversations to be had among friends. I mean, we've had it right after the game. We've had it a few days after the game. Like, dude, something's up with Lamar. You're right. He's not making crisp throws. When the pressure's on and there's a big game, or even if he's blitz light, and it doesn't help that he's been the most blitz quarterback and the most sack quarterback. You know, the offensive line, we know it is weak, but you know, something is up, and he definitely got to play better because he's not earning it. And a lot of people are posing the question, like, what do you do with Lamar in his contract? Like, you know, before it was like, okay, well, he's definitely not getting Mahomes money, but he's got to get more than Deshaun Watson money because he's done way more than Deshaun Watson. And then it's probably going to be comparable to at least what Josh Allen got because, you know, even though Josh Allen has been successful, you know, Lamar's got a lot of wins in the regular season. He's got the MVP and he's going to be paid more than Baker because Baker's not worth it, even though Baker was the first over. But like, there's a lot of discussion there in what you do with that. But then based on the regression from 19, And I know, like, you know, we made the playoffs three straight years, and last year he got his first playoff win, but, you know, didn't get over the hump in the divisional game against the Bills where it really mattered, and then it didn't help that he got hurt late in that game anyway. But, you know, he just hasn't been right. But then you look at the injuries, like, he had concussion in the divisional game, you know, he's got COVID again. You know, we don't know the after effects, so we can't really pinpoint is it a virus or not, because NFL players, whether they're vaccinated, are getting sick across the league. So you don't know how it's affecting them unless they come out physically and say, hey, this is what it's doing to me, but we don't know. So we can speculate, but it's like something's up. And it's been a regression since that MVP season. And it's been the same personnel. And I know we added Rashad Bateman this year, and he hasn't stepped into week six, but we've had Hollywood. And I know they're without J.K. Dobbins and all that, but Lamar had an MVP season. He didn't have J.K. Dobbins. He had Mark Andrews behind him. So, not Mark Andrews, Mark Ingram. I'm sorry. So, it's like, you know, Dobbins' rookie year is 2020. He bought out, and then he got hurt this year. So, you know, again, people forget about that. Well, we didn't have J.K. Dobbins. Well, Lamar didn't have Dobbins in the backfield, and he bought out. So, something's up. So, we don't know what that is, but he needs to figure it out quick because I think it's panic mode for a lot of people because then you're like, everybody's like doubting it now. Like, he's not the answer. And whether you were consistent from that beginning or changing your tune, something is up. And, you know, I'm not going to be bashful about it, calling him right out. Like, you know, he doesn't play well when he's pressured in the blitz and under duress. He doesn't make quick decisions, and it's showing. And I don't know if he knows how to read defenses. And there's a lot of what ifs right now. And what do you do? And then a lot of folks are like, well, now he's not the guy. It's hard to say because the Ravens went all in on him. So, and they're building the team around him and they're stuck. Right. So, and there's no viable quarterbacks in the draft right now, at least this year. So it ain't like you could look for Plan B and put some fire under him. That's a big discussion that we can have whether the season's out and over and see what it does. But the Ravens have a handful with the situation because of the play and the regression and what's going on. And again, injuries don't help. I mean, when you're trying to play at your best, you know, having a sprained ankle and getting and coming off a concussion last year. I mean, again, I'm probably sure he's fully recovered from a concussion from a playoff game, you know, almost a year ago. But again, I can't speak for that. Never had one. Don't know the long-term effects of that. You know, something is up. And we're going to keep saying that, repeating it on the show and really asking the hard questions until we could probably try to figure it out. But I don't know, man. But again, it's something's got to give, because if the Ravens want to make the playoffs four straight times, let alone win this division somehow, and you might sit there thinking like, you know, they don't deserve it. And people, whether they deserve it or not, who cares? Like, the other team sure don't deserve it. The Steelers don't deserve it. You know, they're 6-6 with a tie on their hands. So, I mean, you know, you're saying like the other teams deserve it. Like, no, we want the Ravens to get in. Whether they get in or not, make noise is another discussion. And we can certainly talk about that as we progress through these games and get closer to the end result and see what it looks like. But once you get in, anything's possible. But I'd rather have a Ravens in the playoffs than out. I don't know about you, but I'd rather win a division and get a home playoff game. Number one, I get to go to is I'm a season ticket holder, but like, it doesn't matter. I want my team to get there and I want them to succeed, but whether they can go all the way is another story. And I don't think they're built for that. You know, they might win one playoff game and then lose, but who's to say? But with this Ravens team that doesn't quit, you know, you got to believe, because like, it's almost like now it's like, again, you have to watch the game in its entirety, no matter who's hurt and who's injured, because like, yeah, you can shut it off at halftime. They're not going to win this. And then you might go back and look and like, how'd they only lose by two? Like,
right.
What's up with that? It's almost like the Steelers, right? Like, not comparing this team, but like, the Steelers are losing 29-0. And you look at the, if you'd have turned it off after 29-0 and you look and the Steelers basically were, they had a touchdown dropped in the end zone. I don't know if it was the win or tie on last Thursday. I can't remember that. But if you look at it the same way, you look at the score and it's the same way. The Steelers are fighting. The Bengals, you know, it was a back and forth game. And then, you know, they kicked the field goal in overtime and then lost in overtime when the Niners drove. So I'm like, you know, they could have had that game won. So, you know, you look at it, no matter how you slice it, the Ravens were resilient in Cleveland with the injuries, with all that's going on. They only lost by two. It's a moral victory. They're still 8-5. They're still in first place. And I'm not going to sit here and gloat about, you know, are they a great team? No, they're not. They're not playing like it in any stretch of the form right now, but you know, you can't help the injuries that happen, but you know, I'm going to praise them for its due. And they were resilient. The players stepped up. You know, Devonta Freeman was running hard. Some of the play calling was suspect. Again, some of the calling of the refs was suspect on one side on the Ravens, but they tried to overcame all that and still basically almost won the game. They were a few plays short. And I'm not going to blame a certain call or a certain – I mean, you could sit there and blame a call, a no call, a turnover here and there. That all happened, and they still almost won the game. So you know what? Stay tuned, because they're probably going to take us another crazy ride somehow, some form, and you just never can count this team out. And like I've told you, whether they are a playoff team or not or talented or not, they're dangerous, because it seems like no matter what, they keep coming at you. Like it's a – imagine like a boxing match, right, man? It's like – you know, they might be the inferior fighter, but hey, they're scrappy and you might hit them upside the head a few times and knock them down the map. But you know what? They're going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming. And eventually they might get one of these games and might get lucky or not so lucky, or they might make the play that needs to happen one of these times to put them over the hump. Could be in a playoff game. Who knows? It could be this Sunday against the Packers where they do it again. They might be losing by 20 points in this game on Sunday, and then they might end up winning by seven. You're like, then we might be reconvening next week and go, how did that happen? They just took down Aaron Rodgers in the – like, you don't know. Like, stay tuned. But this team's not down and out yet. And with all that's going on, there's a lot of question marks and a lot of uncertainty and a lot of concerns with the injuries. But, bro, stay tuned, because, like you said, this team doesn't die, and they're not going to. They don't care what you all say. They're going to keep scrapping.
So let me ask you, looking forward now, we're looking at the Green Bay Packers. When this game got announced – on our schedule release show, I already said whether Lamar was healthy or not, this was going to be a loss. It's Aaron Rodgers. It's the Green Bay Packers. So mm-hmm. I already saw this one as a loss at the beginning of the year before all this drama even happened. So I don't want to say like, are they, do you think that the Ravens would save Lamar so he's fresher against the Cincinnati Bengals next week and have Tyler Huntley play in this game against the Green Bay Packers, because we've already got a defense that's beaten up and an offense who is beaten up. Mm-hmm. For a game that you're pretty much everyone's betting against you anyway, do they hedge their bets and go, ah, let's go against the team that's in our division. Let's have our QB ready to go that week. Let's save him till then. Or do you go out there and hope he can beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
No, I see where you're going with that. It's a great question. You got to play Lamar. If he's good to go, got to play him. I don't think you take the risk, which I see you're taking the more cautious person, like kind of like looking ahead, like let's save him for a divisional game. But then it's like, okay, you got the Rams game thrown in sandwiched between the end of the year bout with the Steelers again. So it's like, I don't think you do, because no matter if this game is against the NFC leading Packers right now or it's against the Bengals, it's got to be a quality win, because I alluded to before, if they go 2-2, they're 10-7. They go 3-1 in the stretch, they are 11-6. So, you know, it's going to take at least 10 wins to qualify, and whether it's a wild card or whether it's a division win, you got to go 2-2. And it's like, I get resting, but it's like, you know, let's see how the game goes. Like if they're losing 40-0 in the third quarter, they're probably not going to come back in the game. So yeah, maybe bench Lamar for Huntley, save him. But especially Lamar's not getting it done. But then if the doctors and the coaching staff feel like he can go and he can play Sunday, he's playing. You got to play Lamar. I just don't see a scenario where, you know, even if he's a healthy scratch, I just don't think Lamar Jackson would be a healthy scratch when you have four games to play and you're leading your division by one. I just don't think that happens, man. But I see where your point is, but whether if your point was to agree with sitting Lamar, I would have to disagree with that wholeheartedly and be like, no, you got to play him. Yeah, but I get it, because if you throw him out there and he gets hurt, everybody could be bellyaching, well, you threw him out there when he was close to 100 and got hurt. He's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. Josh Allen's dealing with an injury right now. Aaron Rodgers has an ailment. And the Packers could be the same way. I mean, the Packers are now leading the NFC as the one seed because thanks to a Cardinals loss on Monday night. But it ain't like the Packers ain't going to roll out Aaron Rodgers against the Ravens because it's the Ravens. Like, they're going to play the guy. So, again, if he's a go and they give him the green light, you're going to see 8 under center. But with everything, it's so uncertain because of his play, and if it bothers him and if it nags him, who knows? I don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, you got to play Lamar. Got to.
A reporter asked Harbaugh on Wednesday whether or not that was going to be a deal, because, I mean, you have the Cincinnati Bengals who are one game behind the Ravens. Do you save Lamar and hope he's closer to 100% and not play him this week against Green Bay just so you don't risk him getting hurt even more?
Right.
And Harbaugh pretty much said, like, no, he's playing. If he can play, he'll be playing. It's really a doctor call, but he's planning that Lamar will be out there on Sunday. We can expect him as the QB. Whether that is the case come Sunday, we'll see. But as far as Harbaugh cares, Lamar is our number one QB. He's going to be this game and the next. And the fact that the Bengals are right after doesn't faze his decision in any way. So I was just intrigued at what your thoughts were on that. But
you know what? Oddly enough, I did hear the coach's marks on that. And again, I don't want to sound like, you know, Harbaugh, but yeah, I mean, I certainly agree with the coach. You know, you're right. You got to play him. I mean, it is interesting because the thought does creep in your mind. Like, do you go with Huntley, who's the more healthier option and who kind of almost led us back and who did win, help lead us to a win in Chicago? But it's the Packers. You know, we know the Packers own Chicago, obviously. You know, we know Aaron Rodgers' remarks. It's the Packers, and this game is marquee. And you know what? Not for the fanfare sake of it, but you throw Lamar out there against Aaron Rodgers, they got flexed for a reason. We actually get the All-Star crew. We're having Joe Buck Aikman and Aaron Andrews on the sidelines. So we're getting Fox's best people, nice. Just like we got in CBS, weirdly enough, against the Bears. So everybody's going to be watching this. And this is a featured matchup of the last two NFL MVPs, Lamar 19 and Aaron Rodgers last year in 2020. So, and this has heavy playoff implications because the Ravens somehow win this game. Then you're like, are the Ravens back? Because imagine the headlines Monday morning. All right, Ravens back in it because they just took down the now number one seed in the NFC of a 10-3 team going into it of the Packers. So this would be a huge marquee win, I think, even more so than a division win. But you got to win your division games too and to really separate yourself to win the North. So, I mean, it all plays out. But if they can win this and stop their two-game losing streak, whether it is Lamar to go or Huntley enters the game or somehow, some fashion, if they take this home game this Sunday against Green Bay, improves all. It's like you. I looked at the game. I'm like, Aaron Rodgers at home. I don't care. Home away. you're losing that in December. The fact that it's flex is awesome. It's going to be a great time, you know, under the lights again at M&T Bank Stadium, a premier matchup for all people who are going. Who knows, it might be the last time seeing Aaron Rodgers in Baltimore, whether, because we never know with the uncertainty of his situation in Green Bay. Is he going to be free agent playing somewhere else? Well, and there's speculation that with the Packers situation with cap room, or not Packers, the Pittsburgh Steelers situation with cap room and not drafting quarterback and Big Ben exiting, there's been speculation that Aaron Rodgers can end up in the black and gold. And I would hate to see that, or black and yellow. So
no,
but there has been rumors. I'm not saying it's true, so don't hold me to that, but it's been floating out there that that could be a possible landing spot. I even heard New Orleans for him as well. So don't know with that saga, but be that as it may, can't speculate, but again, it could be Aaron Rodgers' last time in Baltimore to see him under center, and he obviously he's a surefire Hall of Famer of that. So it's going to be a good one, and this is a hot ticket, as I heard. It's a marquee matchup, and Green Bay Packers, I'm expecting to see some cheeseheads in the stands and their storied franchise, and it's going to be awesome, man. I mean, this is one of the games of the year. NFL flexed it because of that reason. It's two playoff teams. They're two teams right now leading their division. The Ravens are fourth in the AFC in seeding. Packers are number one. And believe it or not, but I think if I look at the AFC in total, the Ravens are what, one or two games behind in the whole AFC race and all that for the first seed. I mean, I think they're a game behind. I think what the Patriots are number one, aren't they 9-4?
I believe so.
And there ain't so I'm saying, like, you know, the AFC is so wide open. Again, I know the Chiefs are ascending, and I know the Patriots are ascending, and I know, you know, there's people there, but there's teams up to the forefront that are ascending, and the Ravens have lost two in a row. But, you know, the number one seed's up for grabs. So if the Ravens can really take these matchups and go on a run, who knows? But to show the resilience they did in Cleveland, it gives me more hope than grim and doom and gloom because of the injuries and all that, because it's like they fought back. Now, if they went down 24-6 at half and go out and give up another 10, 15 points in half and they only kick one more field goal and they lose like 34-9, then you could be sitting here like, shh, everything's falling apart for the Ravens. But the fact that they claw back with the personnel that they have shows, number one, they're deep, shows they're fighters. And with four games left, you can't really count them out, whether they're going to be division winners or challenge for the number one seed. Who knows at this point? But what we know, they're going to give the Packers their best shot on Sunday, and we know it.
Now, of course, Aaron Rodgers, one of the best to ever play. I mean, first ballot Hall of Famer. He might be a little out there, a little kooky, a little weird. I don't think that's surprising anybody. He's a weird guy. But how is Aaron Rodgers going to do against this beat-up Ravens defense? Looking at the injury list for Wednesday, Calais Campbell, he did not practice on Wednesday. Justin Houston, he always has off on Wednesdays. He did not practice. So Chris Westry, Tavon Young, they did not practice as well. Mm-hmm. So this is already a beat-up defense. These guys are taking some days off to heal up a little bit. But without Marlon Humphrey, with potentially without Calais Campbell, I mean, this just seems like it's going to be like a feast for Aaron Rodgers, and he's just going to be throwing all over the place. What do you think is going to happen this Sunday with this Ravens defense, the way it is against one of the best of all time?
Well, what's going to happen is Aaron Rodgers, you expect them to pick him apart. I mean, they have one of the best, if not the best receiver right now in football, Devonta Adams. We know what they can do. I mean, you've seen what whether you have him on a fantasy team or not, you know, or they're going against him, you know what they're doing. I mean, Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdowns on a bad toe, and they scored 45 points like it was nothing. And Devonta Adams is an absolute beast. So with a banged-up secondary, I expect Aaron Rodgers and Devonta to go off. I mean, off. So take that as you may for your fantasy guys. If you're going against them in your fantasy playoffs, which start this week, good luck to you, because I think they're absolutely destroy the Ravens secondary. But feel like still the Ravens can overcome. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers throws two or three touchdowns, which I fully expect him to throw three at least, and Devonta get at least two of those with 100 yards to boot, I still think they can win the game. But, dude, with now Marlon out, we know Peters has been gone since preseason, and you have this kind of matchup with Rodgers, with Adams. They're licking their chops. Dude, this ball's doom and gloom all over the place. The Ravens are going to have their hands full in the secondary, believe it or not. I mean, the key about this is get Rodgers pressure. And really prove that, you know, you got to make him beat you. And I think, you know, with the added pressure of trying to stop an Aaron Jones on the ground, it's going to be tough, man, because they can beat you either way. I mean, Aaron Jones caught a touchdown in the red zone the other night, and it's going to be the Ravens defense right now is obviously going to take the L if you look at it on paper big time, because you're like, you're going to take Aaron Rodgers, Devonta Adams, and that air attack all day long. So if the Ravens have any chance to stop the Packers and key in on that, it's going to be a combination of really suppressing the passing attack from the Packers and really putting pressure on Aaron Rodgers to throw the timing off a little bit. I'm not saying sack him 6 or 7 times a game. That would be awesome. But it also remains to see who's healthy and who's not. Is Calais Campbell going to be healthy enough on the line? We're going to see about that. Like you mentioned, Westry in the game. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty right now. So as we progress through this week and leading up to Sunday's matchup to see who's inactive and who's active, you know, we understand Jimmy Smith was a healthy scratch on Sunday. So is he going to be in the mix again this week? Who knows? You know, you like to see him out there, especially with a Devonta Adams assignment. But I don't know. But it's grim. You know, it's the weakest part of the Ravens. The Ravens are already having the 31 ranked passing defense. So nice. You throw that out there against Aaron Rodgers, Devonta Adams. If you have him in your fantasy team, you're like, yeah, man, we're going to cash in. And, you know, and if you're against them, you better pray that the Ravens can somehow get, you know, contain that. And if you're a fan like all of us are, you want the Ravens to contain them in some way, but I just don't see it. I think they're going to have a field day. But again, it's going to be tough to overcome. This is the matchup. If they somehow hold in Aaron Rodgers and Devonta Adams on a little bit of a leash, then that's going to be another kind of those moral victories we talked about. I mean, the Ravens came back against the Browns. You know, if they can hold the Packers to somewhat of a lesser points and really, really clamp Adams down, then be like, okay. And if they lose the game, if look at the stats and Rodgers didn't really do much damage and they just had the points for Nebe and the Ravens didn't, we'll see where it may, but I can't wait for it, man. It's going to be one of the games of the year, I expect. And, you know, I fully expect the Ravens to, you know, give their best fight. But, you know, at the end of the day, like you, I foresee an 8-6 record, a third straight loss, and really panic mode, because the Packers are going to bring all they got, and you got to go with a hot hand. And the Packers are just – they're Green Bay. They're the Packers. They're the number one seed, and they're the defending NFC North champs. It's the clash of both North divisions in Baltimore on Sunday afternoon. And, again, the last two MVPs of the league. And, you know, it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be one for the ages, I hope. And let's see what the Ravens got for them. But again, just like in Cleveland, like we agreed, I just don't see it happening. And I really think reconvening on next week and Monday morning, you're going to sit there and you're going to see an 8-6 record, a third straight loss, and then see what the rest of the North does and see if the Ravens hold their first place line. But they got to give their best fight. And I think they're still going to give their best fight, but who knows if it's going to be enough. But I just don't see it. The Green Bay Packers are, they're juggernaut, man. And if they keep it close or somehow win this game, it's going to be more – obviously winning the game is a way bigger, more victories. They won the game, but somehow keep it close and, again, contain them with the keys to the game. And most importantly, on top of that list, not only containing Rodgers and Adams and company, do not turn the ball over.
Yes.
I don't care where it is. You cannot give them the option to get points and take them out of your pot. You can't do that. Like, again, I know – again, if I'm going to say this, okay – I don't want to throw luck in the NFL, but I feel like the Ravens did get lucky winning a game, throwing 4 interceptions, like turn the ball over 4 times. Like, you should lose that game 10 out of 10 times. You shouldn't win that game. And that's why we alluded to a couple weeks ago when we covered the game in the aftermath, like, is it credit to the Ravens being resilient and snuffing out the Browns, or is it to the Browns' credit of like not cashing in when you get 4 turnovers against the Ravens, you don't cash it in. Like, what's that say? So, you know, we can talk about that all day long, but again, the Ravens cannot turn the ball over, period. That should be top key of the game right there. Just can't win the NFL. It's the biggest cliche of the NFL. You just cannot win an NFL game when you turn the ball over. I don't care who it's against. So keys of the game are right there. Simple. No turnovers, contain Aaron Rodgers, Devonta Adams, and continue to keep fighting. And no matter what, and see what the recipe holds.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Lamar Jackson on Sunday. Tyler Huntley was the one to practice, and he was throwing the ball on Wednesday's practice. So we'll see what happens there. But Tyler Huntley, Lamar Jackson, two very different players, talent wise, but they know the scheme very well. They know the offense very well. So I don't really think that this offense has to adjust too much, whether it's Lamar or Tyler Huntley at QB1. But I would feel much more comfortable if it was Lamar Jackson at QB1. We should also note that. Yes, exactly. We should also note that Sammy Watkins and Nick Boyle both practiced on Wednesday, which was really good. So
Much needed. Yes.
Much needed. So let's see what happens at the wide receiver position with Sammy Watkins, especially with Rashad Bateman doing so well this past Sunday. It seems every game he plays, he gets better. And Nick Boyle, hopefully we can have him back. He can be that blocking body to give the QB one more time to let plays develop. So hopefully Nick Boyle can be out on the field as well. But we'll see what happens. Nick Boyle's had a rough road to recovery, so we'll see. But like you, I also agree this is not going to be a win for the Ravens. I said that when the schedule came out. I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's all you got to say. It's Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the best ever. MVP last year. I mean, just you can't say enough about the guy. He's just so good. So I never saw this as a win for the Ravens. I'm thinking probably I'm going to say 32-17 Packers.
I'm right below you. I'm 27-17 Packers. I had the Ravens scoring the same amount, but Packers just below your 32 mark. So 27-17 is my mark for the Green Bay Packers in a double-digit win. But let's see if they prove us wrong. I hate to see the Ravens lose three in a row, but you know, you got to have common sense in this matchup. And just the way the Ravens are reeling with the injuries, you know, certainly in their quarterback, but we covered it all. I mean, I don't see it happening. But if it somehow happens, we're going to reconvene next week and be like, well, I'll be. But if we're left with a sour taste heading into the holiday week, got a lot of work to do because it's going to be a doozy in Cincinnati. And it just doesn't get tough. It just gets tougher. I mean, we know what the Rams just did against the Cardinals on Monday night, and that was a divisional matchup. But the Rams come in 2 weeks to Baltimore with that aerial assault. That's another 4:30 game. You know, it just in Cooper Kupp and what he's doing. I mean, it doesn't get easier, man. The Bengals already beat us. They beat us big time. You know what happened in that game, and then we know we got revenge against the Steelers who let one slip away, and they're playing bad football. So, dude, it's going to be a fight for the next 4 weeks for their lives, and with four very important and awesome matchups, and we covered the North matchups with their four games remaining. It's anybody's race, and the NFL has some crazy races with these wild card seedings and division races, and it was alluded to by some of the media, you know, out there. National media, this might be the best division race right now in football because everybody's right there. And again, I don't care if you take the Ravens a 52% chance of winning the North or the Steelers at 5, anything is possible at this point. So buckle up because it's going to be a ride.
So Josh, have we covered everything Have we covered everything for this episode of the call?
It's almost hard not to cover everything, man. There's a lot going on with this team. And if we forget anything, by all means, we apologize, but there is a lot going on, man. It just seems like just no matter what, it's like, what next? But I think we got this one in the bag. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Make sure you go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be able to listen to the show straight on our Facebook page. How cool is that? So definitely go check out our Facebook page. I actually shared something. Did I share it today? It may have been today. Towson Hot Bagels here in Maryland. Old Bay Hot Chocolate for the holidays.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Right? You're sporting the hat. There you go.
I meant to break the whole podcast, and I just realized it's Christmas. It's coming up on Christmas week, and don't have my Raven Santa hat, so obviously get that for – you always snip – I don't know how you do the snippets on the video, but you always seem to get some weird screenshots of us doing something. So got my Santa hat. I don't have my you know what? Speaking of Old Bay hot chocolate, I wonder if Old Bay and eggnog would be a good combo.
Oh, that's interesting.
I might try that. I might try to sprinkle some – You might think, guys, you're going way too far, but you know Marylanders, Old Bay's on everything. Like, everything. It's got to try. I mean, I've had Old Bay on Cheerios before. I've done that. And you're like, Cheerios, milk, and Old Bay. But I've done that. It was a pretty interesting combo. But I pretty much try Old Bay on anything. I've done it on a peanut butter sandwich. It actually wasn't that bad. So, that, yeah, I saw the Old Bay. And I remember texting him, like, not sure how that would taste. But I think Old Bay and hot chocolate, because it would spice it up. I don't know. It's almost like it reminds me of, like, a more spicier seafood taste, cinnamon, because I'm like, you put cinnamon. So it's not, I don't know. I mean, we've had Old Bay bagels. We've had Old Bay. We have Old Bay sausage. We have Old Bay hot sauce. We have Old Bay. I mean, Old Bay everything. And obviously our logo is in Old Bay. So if you want to celebrate Old Bay Bay with some Old Bay, as you always say, and hey, be festive, be merry. Old Bay should be on the table for your holiday and Christmas festivities. I know Old Bay because shrimp's a staple for the Christmas weekend for our family, shrimp cocktail. So Old Bay is always abundant somehow, some way. But yeah, got to wear the Raven Santa hat, got to be festive. And it's upon us, man. Festivus Maximus is what
that's right. That's right. Absolutely. So go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. That's where you get all the good stuff that we like to share. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so very much. Always what you do. It's another great installment here in The Call. Bearing down on the end of this season, got four incredible games left. Green Bay Packers are next at M&T Bank Stadium. Primetime 4:30 flex game. I cannot wait. If anybody's going to the game out there, it's going to be a fun time. And sure, you're going to see a lot of Cheeseheads and Packers fans. And, you know, it's going to be good to mingle with them. And we know there are enemies this week on the field, but, you know, feel free, you know, any Packers fans out there, feel free to stop by our tailgate in Lot H. It's going to be fantastic out there, and you can't wait. It's going to be a great matchup. Aaron Rodgers, as we said, hopefully it's Lamar. Lamar's ailed, but number 8 should be under center, and we shall see the last two MVPs duke it out, and it's going to be a wonderful matchup, very important matchup in both of these division races, because, again, as we lead to, both teams are in first place. Packers are leading the NFC, and the Ravens are right there, but they're right now in fourth, and they got to take care of business. Right now, they're a playoff team. Right now, they're the division leading team, but will they play like it? Will they show the resilience that we always like to see and fight on in this season of Festivus Maximus, and will we be celebrating a playoff berth? Who knows what has in store, but I know what's in store is another great installment of Ravens football on Sunday evening. Let's have at it, Ravens Nation. Packers are in town. Let's show them what we're about. Mighty Ravens, let's fly high this weekend.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.